With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome. Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Hey.
What is going on? How's everybody today?
You're all slick back today.
You damn right
you
I am.
You look like an 80s Wall Street villain.
You damn right I do.
It's a Michael Douglas greed is good sort of haircut.
Damn right it is. What's going on?
I don't know. I'm kind of intimidated now by this new do.
Damn right you are.
I don't know what to make of it. It's throwing me for a loop.
Damn right it is.
Luckily, I look over at Mike and he's got the same haircut and a metal shirt on. And so there's comfort to that. Routine.
You know,
it,
with hair
it is
like,
nice and routine.
Yeah, it sure is. Mike's predictable.
He is. You know what you're going to get out of Mike, yeah. Right? You'll get some running shoes.
And that's
some ankle
comfortable.
Socks.
It's comfy.
He's moved out of the cargo shorts, which is nice, to regular like flat front shorts. And then you get a metal t-shirt.
You know what Mike is?
What?
Reliable.
He is. Like, if you're a dog, right, Mike's like a golden retriever. Just you know what you're going to get.
That's right.
Solid, nothing flashy, but there's a reason why.
Very lovable.
Yeah. There's a reason why it's a popular dog.
Sometimes a pain in the ass, but pretty lovable.
Yeah.
Well, Mike's his belly scratch.
Yeah, Mike's a lovable figure.
I was scratching Mike's belly earlier.
Yeah,
I
was
did you see that?
He was doing that little leg thing.
He did. Just like a dog.
Mike is, like, no one dislikes Mike.
Exactly.
You may not know Mike. You may think he's a little scary. Maybe you're not a dog person, but you can't.
Well, look.
You can't hate Mike. He's a lovable pooch.
He's just Mike.
Yeah.
And he never goes wacko on you.
No.
You know?
No, he stays in his lane.
He's like the most level-headed guy ever.
He goes LeVar Ball. But you know deep down, there's some rage in there. And one of these days, we've talked about it, he'll snap. But, you know, just try not to be living next door to him when that happens.
You want to try to get him to snap?
I don't know. What if we were going to get you, like, full on, like, the Lynch rage? Because I know it's in there, where you break out, like, your eighth grade taekwondo. What would...
There's no taekwondo that gets broken out with my rage.
You are a black belt.
I am a black belt, but
you learn through your Sifu to control that because these hands are registered weapons. One of those sort of things.
I am a black belt, but
that's awesome.
Yeah. I don't you remember I sent like a picture of my actual black belt?
No, I remember that you were a black belt. I just
and the
forgot.
Certificate.
Wait,
I don't know when I get really.
Does that make sense?
What
I remember that he was a black belt, but I forgot. That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense.
It makes sense because you're saying you forgot.
Wait,
but when when it was said, you were like, oh,
here's
right.
What it is.
Duh.
I knew you were a black belt, but I forgot.
Oh,
how about that?
That sounds a little better.
Yeah.
If that's,
I mean, it's kind of the exact same thing, but okay.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify.
Grammar Roto champion over there demanded that it be.
Yeah. I got to get it. Right. I got to be accurate.
From Kansas math to Kansas grammar. No, I don't know. When I get angry, I just yell really loud. That's it.
Wow.
See, and I would like to see that.
You could get it. You can push. Nobody can push buttons like you.
It is what I do.
You do it on purpose.
Yeah. No.
And you can get him. It's just, I don't know if you'd want to.
Well, I'm always a little bit nervous. Like, normally, I do like poking the bear a little bit, but I am afraid of the deadly taekwondo feet and hands. And more importantly, just the weird metal rage. Like, we've all known
And he's
that,
a big guy.
Yeah. We've all known. Yeah, Mike's bigger than I am. Like it's
is that
not,
true?
It's not Big Sue.
Slightly.
It's
yeah.
Big Lynch.
How do you define that?
Well, I'm like a half inch taller than him, and we're about, I'm probably a little heavier than you, but we're about the same build and weight. Yeah.
So we've all known Mike in school.
That's interesting, because I think Sue seems bigger.
We can stand next to each other in the break and prove you.
Let's measure.
Right?
That's it.
Wrong?
Tape measure.
You decide.
You're small, Mike.
He's Big Mike. But... we all knew that kid in school that kind of, and they all look the same too. They look like Mike. They dress like Mike, and they're nice kids, but there's always that little bit of mystery to them. And one of these days, someone's going to like spill some milk on him and Mike's going to turn and take a lunch tray and beat him over about the head and shoulders for a half hour. And I don't want to be the one to do that.
For a half hour.
Yeah. It'll go on for a while. You ever seen a Christmas Story? Ralphie? It's that. Mike's got a Ralphie in him.
Mike's Ralphie.
No,
yeah, there's some mittens pinned to his vest.
I have only
and he's waiting to snap one.
I have only ever once punched anyone in my life. Whoa. Just once.
Who got punched by the great Mike Lynch?
It was in summer camp, and it was a friend of mine.
It's always camp.
And I was having a really, really bad day. And I was just trying to take a nap on the bus on the way home, and he poured water over my head as a joke. And it woke me up, and I just, not even like half a second, just punched him.
Oh, like almost like an uncontrolled rage that just comes out of nowhere.
Wait, why didn't you?
I wonder.
Hold on. Why didn't you taekwondo his ass?
Well, because we were sitting down on a school bus. I just did the first thing that caught to my head. And you know what's part of taekwondo? Punching.
Yeah. You know what Mike did?
Oh, so you taekwondo punched him?
He did.
Like, I thought of like...
He ninja chopped him, or was that a judo chop? Which one?
I mean, it was a closed fist, so you don't need to have the open hands over here.
I was hoping...
You realize that part of martial arts is actually just punching.
Well, no, I don't know much about martial arts, Mike. I'm sorry. So when I heard you say punch, I thought, you know, like... You know, like how bros fight.
Yeah.
Little tickle slap fights. Like
a wild overhand, but no.
Yeah.
Mike.
That never lands, you know. But
the best part is when Mike was punching, he was actually demonstrating proper like, taekwondo. Well, he didn't say hi-ya. He said a-pa-ya.
He did say a-pa-ya. Let's find it.
Pa-ya.
That's what Mike did.
He said a-wham-ya.
Wham-ya.
And that's kind of my point is
a-pa-ya.
I'm not going to be the one to trigger. How old were you?
Oh, I don't know, like 11 or something.
So that's 11-year-old Mike Lynch rage. He's had almost 20 more years to build that up without it being released. I'm telling you, someday that's going to happen, and 20 years of that sort of bottled up metal rage, music, taekwondo, all of that's coming out.
Metal lets it out for me. The metal music is the release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although you've once said that, like, I think I remember you saying before
that Jersey Fury
that metal relaxes you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes when
the chaos brings me my final piece.
I mean, yeah, kind of. When you're in a really, really weird mood, sometimes it's just like, oh, cool, they're yelling for me, thanks, and then you're fine. Then you're totally fine. Plus, there's also metal genres that are more relaxing anyway. So,
all right, well, we love you, Mike.
The world of Mike Lynch, I love it. I do. I'm fascinated by what's going on upstairs.
There's a lot of unique things going on, yeah.
We've gotten the Teaneck Assassin, Fists of Jersey Fury, Mike is an angry elf. A lot of stuff going on in there.
Definitely not an elf, but...
A lot of things happening.
What's the opposite of elf?
Well, that's kind of the whole thing is, yeah, he's not an elf. He was a giant man.
Yeah.
That's like you.
Don't you look back now and go, why was I having a bad day at summer camp? Like, summer camp's great.
Probably because I was getting picked on a lot.
You know? Oh. Yeah.
See what I mean?
Oh.
Yeah?
Here's another layer to the onion.
I'm telling you,
I think summer
there.
Camp. I remember summer camp, and I remember being like having bad days at summer camp, and like being all angsty, you know, and like girls and you know, things like that, pitching tents when you don't want to, you know, just uncontrollable things.
Some of the worst bullies I had in my life were in this summer camp.
So you were a kid who dreaded summer camp. See, I look back and go, God, why can't a kid just understand this is great? Like, look at your week.
Well, where else are you going to learn to smoke?
But when you're getting picked on, that's
where do you see up tops for the first time? You know, you learn about things at summer camp.
My first kiss was at summer camp.
See, there you go. How was he?
Wow. He was great.
By the way, have you ever had a dude?
Yeah, I've had dudes. I've had many dudes. In fact, when I played football, I preferred dudes.
I've showered with a lot of men.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. All those things true. I remember a summer camp that I was a counselor at. It was I've told the story, but the Sunshine, what is it like for disabled kids? And that was the worst experience of my life.
Why?
Well, my camper tried to murder another camper, and then the reptile guy got bit, and then some of the reptiles got knocked over, and all hell broke loose. I did scoop.
You had a reptile guy?
Yeah, there was a reptile guy. And
that's the first red flag.
Yeah. And so we were at camp, and he had...
actually, third. But.
And he had one of those... He broke out like the big snake, and I don't remember what kind it was, but... It was a big snake. I think it was a cobra, but he said that it had been
a cobra?
Yeah, but what do they call it?
Like not, defanged or whatever?
Not defanged, but the venom, like, taken out. I don't know what it wasn't poisonous. It had been neutered. It had been snake neutered.
All
right. Right? So he had that thing out.
Seems cruel.
Yeah. And then he put it, well, I don't think you can have like around like a bunch of disabled kids. I don't think you can like bring out like poisonous snakes. But then he had like a monitor lizard, one of those big, big, huge suckers, like the size of a dog. And one of the kids kind of started freaking out, and then it spooked the lizard, and the lizard ended up like lunging at the guy and like biting him. And then like the box got tipped over and it had the snake in it, and all hell broke loose. I mean, it was Thunderdome.
You know who would have been out of there faster than anybody in that room?
What?
Me.
You hate snakes so much.
Oh my God. I would have been out of there faster than anyone in that room. Guaranteed.
It was a whole thing. So, my kid that I had, because my first one tried to smother one of the other kids with a pillow. And I was like, yeah, I can't. I'm not doing this.
Like wait, to death?
Yes. Woke up middle of the night to because you're in like cabins, right? So you're in bunks and you sleep, you know, not two to a bunk. You know what I mean? Like one's up top and you're down the bottom. And every counselor had one kid. And my kid was just severely autistic, but he was like a full grown. He was like 15, 16. And was like a normal sized kid, and he just was developmentally disabled, but there wasn't anything physically wrong with him. And he was a bit of a challenge. And I woke up to the sounds of like kind of a muffled sort of thing. And when I woke up, he had a pillow over the face of one of the other campers. And
oh my God.
Holy crap. Yeah, I wasn't.
Why have we never heard this story before?
I swear I've told this story before.
Head coach?
Oh my God. And the only reason I was there is the girl that I had a crush on was the one that invited me to be the counselor. And I was like, all right, well, it's a chance to go to camp and, you know, make a move. Right. Which, by the way, didn't happen. It was a terrible experience. And
what was her problem?
I don't think she liked me. I got friend zoned.
Oh.
And I didn't realize that I was in the friend zone, you know.
But he's gay.
Yeah. So I took the kid and like threw him across the room because, well, he was suffocating the right. other kid.
Got to do what you got to do.
And the other kid was like a wheelchair kid, like had like really like couldn't do anything back. And then God. That was a whole thing. And I was like, they're like, hey, you can't manhandle the kids. I'm like, manhandle the kids? Like was smothering him. I'm like, it was reaction. I just grabbed him and threw him off him. So one of the senior people that was like running the thing, they took over my kid and they gave me a different one who was in a wheelchair. So when the reptile thing went down, I scooped my kid up out of the wheelchair. Didn't even bother pushing the wheelchair. Just picked him up over the shoulder. OJ Simpson did like Hertz commercial, like hurdled something and got the hell out of there. I didn't know what was going on. They told me the snake wasn't venomous. I wasn't going to wait around to find out. All I know is the reptile guy got bit. There was a monitor lizard loose, and then the snake got out, and no, I was gone.
That's incredible.
That was my summer camp. And it was like in a sunshine. It was called like the Sunshine Division camp, and it was for, you know, it was for
yeah, understood.
Kids.
I get it.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that was a scene,
well,
man.
Okay, two things. One, when a venomous snake has undergone a surgical procedure
yeah.
to remove or inhibit its production of venom, it is called a venomoid.
Well, there you go.
So you got a venomoid.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. When you get like a big king cobra and it gets loose, the last thing you're thinking is, oh, I bet that snake, you know, doesn't have it. No, I'm not taking your word for it. And we're not sticking around to find out.
Dude, you want to see me run like the juice?
Yeah.
I would have ran like the juice, man.
I'm with you. At least I had, now, granted, you
picked up my cigarettes and gotten out of there.
You can call it cowardly that I ran away, and by all means, feel free to do so, but at least I picked up my kid out of the wheelchair first. Now, I probably should have just, you know, grabbed the wheelchair and maneuver, but at that moment, it's pure instinct, and I wasn't sticking around. I wasn't going to be the hero
that goes
over and tries to wrestle the monitor lizard or the cobra.
Do you ever wonder what happened to the murderous child?
I don't know. His name was Tyrone, and he ate sticks of butter. Like when you show up at camp, and I had no idea. Again, this is 100%. The pretty girl asked me if I was interested in doing this, and my answer should have been not just no, but F no. But again, you're like 15 or 16 or however old you are. All you're thinking about is clearly she's into me. She's inviting me to go away to camp with her. Let's make this happen. Couldn't have misread that situation anymore. But when you show up, you get like a one sheet on your kid, right? Hey, this is, you know, this is who he is, abilities, right? Challenges he has, dietary things or whatever. And on one of mine, it said no more than 2 sticks of butter. And I was like, what?
In what? Like in an hour?
I just remember being like, okay, because I thought I had it easy, right? Like the kid wasn't, you know, there were some kids there that really had some serious challenges. And so I thought this was a cakewalk. I was like, oh, this is easy, right? Hang out with a kid, you know, be cool. He was only like a year or two younger than me. I'm like, it's fine. And I remember asking, I was like, hey, what's with the butter thing? And they're like, well, he eats butter. And I was like, what do you mean he eats butter? He eats like just butter and you can't let him eat too much. And I was like, all right.
So why not?
I don't know. So the first meal we had, he literally took the stick of butter and he was dipping it in ranch and eating.
Come on, you're making this up.
I am not making. How do you make up?
I don't know.
How do you make this up? I'm not that clever to make this up.
I'm stunned by all of them.
He literally just took like a stick of butter, like in a grip, right? Just a fist, and would dunk it in ranch and eat it. And this was my first encounter with him, right? First day. It'd been with him maybe an hour. And I was like, well, this is happening. So, you know, it said no more than two. So I was like, I guess I just let him eat the butter, right? So he eats that stick of butter. And so then he grabs another one. They've got the butter on the table there. And he goes and gets another one. And he dips that in ranch and eats it. And so I'm like, all right, well, that's the end of the butter, right? No, it was not the end of the butter. He was not happy with this two stick of thing. So he went to the table next to us to try to get a different stick of butter. And I was like a dumbass. I was like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, sorry, man. It says you can't. Well, he didn't stand for that. And so that was my first encounter with him trying to physically restrain someone from eating a stick of butter. That was the start of the camp. And it got worse from there.
That's a great camp story.
I lasted like 2 days and then we had to punt.
You're bringing it today.
Yeah.
That's two great camps. Two amazing camp stories I've never heard. I've been with you for 15 years.
Yeah.
Really good. All right, tomorrow's show, we will discuss sports.
So here, just word to the wise here, people. If a girl invites you to be a counselor at a summer camp, that doesn't mean that she's into you. Like, that's...
It just means she wants help with the kids.
Yes. Yes. That's all it is. Like, the whole time I was like, hey, we'll sneak away at night, right? I'm going to, like, this is going to happen. This is awesome. It's like, we'll spend some alone time. No.
No.
Wrong.
Hey, could you go check on the boys?
Wrong.
Be great. Thanks. I'm going to go over here with my, the other counselor that I'm really into.
Yeah. No.
We're going to go make out in the woods. Hey, no. Could you watch those guys for a second?
Make sure no one eats butter and smothers anyone with a pillow.
Far too long of a first segment. Tomorrow's show will include Chip Kelly, George Bush, and Tiger Woods.
I'm out.
Have a good night. All right. Tomorrow. Wait. I mean, not tomorrow. Next. Mike, stop. God. Mike's nice, but he's annoying.
I wouldn't say that. Your rage.
Who will get the rage of Mike first?
Mike, I love you.
It's going to be Sook. Mike and I are tight. All right. First up today, are you ready?
Yeah.
Ducks get a recruit. Now, it's cool. We'll tell you the deets, all that stuff. But I thought, have you read his Players Tribune piece?
No.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
the five-star kid.
Yeah, the center.
Yeah, no,
have you read his Players Tribune piece?
I have not.
Very good.
I saw that he reclassified and all that, and I heard Nemec, but I have not read the piece.
You heard Nemec?
Yeah, Nemec was talking about him. He went on with Sprague.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, I didn't hear that. So you can tell me what he said. But his Players Tribune piece, the kid that's going to Oregon, you're going to love this kid.
Oh,
great story.
Okay.
And he wrote a really good piece on Players Tribune announcing where he was going, and he chose Oregon. So we'll get
taking
to that.
His talents.
Yes, we'll get to that first on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sook on 1080 The Fan.
All right, a little bit of recruiting news today because Oregon got a big stud, or so they say. He is a five-star center, 6'11 kid by the name of Enfali Dante.
I read 7 foot.
Oh. Well, we'll go with 7 feet. I mean,
the official article says 6'11".
He's tall. Okay. He's tall, and he's probably still growing.
If you're 6'11", don't you just round up to 7 foot?
Well, he's the unofficial 7 footer,
we
talked about, whereas Myers Leonard was the official 7 footer.
No, that's true.
He is a big dude.
I am 5'11". Does that mean I can say that I'm 6 feet? Because I really want to.
Are you like 5'11 and a half?
Or are you 5'10 and three quarters and you say you're 5'11?
No, I'm over 5'11. I'm almost 6 feet, bitches.
See, I don't round up. Mike, are you a rounder? Are you a rounder?
No.
Because I'm not quite. I'm just a shy under 6'4", but I don't say 6'4".
Oh, what do you say?
6'3".
Why? Why wouldn't you be proud of being 6'4"?
Because I'm not. Well, I guess in if I'm walking around in shoes, I'm 6'4", but I'm like 6'3".
You're pretty much 6'4".
Yeah, I'm like a less than a quarter of an inch, but still, it's not 6'4", and I feel...
Oh, yeah, we never did the tape measure thing in the break.
What?
Me and Mike were going to measure.
We're going to do the Howard Stern contest?
Ooh.
They did that on their show.
Did they really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Many years ago, yeah. That's
awkward. Yeah. My point is, he's very tall, and he's good at basketball.
Yes. 6'11".
And Nemec says he's the real deal.
7 feet. Okay, so Nemec seen him play? What does Nemec know about him?
Well,
How does he know?
I think that's what
does
he...
Has he gone to Mali and watched him play? He's from Mali. So Nemec's over in Africa. The fans sending him over to Africa to watch this kid play?
Not that. He plays at one of the academies.
No, that's true. I wanted to read you something.
Yeah, Sunrise Christian Academy.
Yeah, where's that? Where actually has he been playing?
I think it's in Iowa.
Whoa.
Let me look this up.
Poor guy.
I thought that's what it's... I don't know. I was kind of, it was one of those where I was listening when I was driving in.
He's
it's
big
in
kid.
In Kansas.
Oh.
Where?
Bel Air, Kansas.
Bel Air?
Yeah.
I'm from Kansas and I've never heard of Bel Air. And I've heard of every small town in Kansas.
Hey, where'd you go to school? I went to Bel Air. Wow. How was that? It's Kansas. It looks like an old church.
It is in between Park City and Wichita.
Park City.
I thought it was somewhere in the Midwest I heard. I just, for whatever reason, I was thinking Iowa, not
Kansas.
Mike's
making all this up.
I'm looking at it on a map. If you took I-35 south to Wichita, you'd pass this place.
One of the things you're very proud of when you grow up in Kansas is that you know the names of and where all the small towns are.
Do you?
But I'm so rusty. I've been gone for like 20 years now. So it's like when somebody says they're from Beloit, I'm like, you're from Beloit. And then I can immediately size them up. Now I'm like... I remember Beloit.
And
where
then people
is that?
Question whether or not you're a real Kansasan.
Right, because you got to know.
What do you call yourself if you're from
Kansans?
Kansans?
Yeah, not a Kansasan.
So you're a Kansan?
I'm a Kansan. Proud of it.
Okay.
That's a funny name.
Yeah, I was like, Kansan?
Yeah.
All right.
So this guy.
Anywho.
I wanted to read you something because he seems. His name is Infali Dante. He's going to Oregon. Five-star kid. And by the way.
He reclassified.
Yeah.
So he's going to.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be a senior this year, but he's reclassified. So he's going to be eligible to play this year.
Yeah. I don't know why he did that. I didn't look too much into that. Maybe Nemec talked about that. But he's supposed to be really good. Whatever. We'll wait and see. But he's got a little Chris Boucher. Remember Chris Boucher? I forget where he was from. But, he was. Wasn't it Boucher that was homeless and like. Sleeping on a train and then stumbled into basketball because he was tall and then kind of made his way to the U.S. and has kind of one of those stories.
I don't know 100% about that.
Thought it was Boucher. Anyway, he reclassified. Not sure why he did that, but Oregon is now in the top 15, preseason top 15, way, way, way too early preseason top 15 because of this get. Like, he's legit. He's going to be one of their top guys because they lost all these guys, right?
Yeah.
Well, he wrote... In order to announce that he was going to Oregon, he wrote a piece called Dear Mom on the Players Tribune, and it's a really good read. It's he's a very, I don't know how old he is, but he's quite thoughtful, and it's interesting. So I'll read you just an excerpt. He says, he's writing this to his mother, and he's got a picture of her on there. His dad died when he was very young, so it was only him and his mom. And Mali, I don't know if you know much about Mali. Mali is in Africa. It is one of the least developed countries in the world. And people earn about a dollar and a quarter a day there. That's where he's from, and that's where his mom currently lives. And he made it out of there and has been over here playing basketball, and he chose Oregon, and he says, as part of his Players Tribune article, he says, I wanted to write this letter to say thank you, Mom. One thing I've definitely learned about America since moving here, and trust me, there have been plenty of lessons, is that people don't really appreciate peanut butter. It's not that they don't like peanut butter. They definitely love peanut butter. I'll put it this way. The first time I went to a grocery store in the States, it blew my mind. I walked down one aisle, and they had stacks and stacks of jars of peanut butter, all these different colors and varieties neatly in one place next to a million kinds of jelly. It was crazy. In America, getting peanut butter was easy. Back in Mali, peanut butter was different. It was hard work. It was stressful. It was how you provided for your family. When I was growing up, I watched you work countless hours in front of the fire making peanut butter from scratch to sell at the market. Mm. It was really difficult work for you, but you were a master at it. Seeing you work so hard taught me what I needed to know about how to provide for myself. Even though we didn't have much, what we did have was all because of you. One of the main reasons I didn't like basketball that much early on was because my feet and knees hurt all the time. And they hurt all the time because the only shoes I had were a pair of worn-out low-top Chuck Taylors. Going to the store and just buying a pair of proper basketball sneakers wasn't an option. We didn't have enough for you to just give me the money to buy them, but you did give me what you could. One day, I remember you giving me a handful of peanuts from one of the big bags you used to buy, and you said, save those. And when we have enough, we'll make a special batch of peanut butter to sell at the market, and the money from that batch, we will buy you basketball shoes. We set aside peanuts from every bag you bought after that, and eventually we had enough to make a batch of peanut butter. And Mom, for real, I've never appreciated you more when I was sitting around the heat, then smashing all those peanuts, going step by step through the slow process of turning peanuts into peanut butter. It was really hard work. We did it, though. Slowly but surely, we made it, sold it, and then after paying you back what we owed for the peanuts, you got me my first pair of high-top basketball sneakers. And he goes on to talk about that they were Jordans. He doesn't remember what type of Jordans, but his body felt better. He started to feel like a basketball player because he had his little shoesies. Mm-hmm. And his life as a basketball player took off.
That's awesome.
I thought that was a really way to, one, thank your mom, but also just kind of let us know, the story behind the kid.
Let me just say this, first and foremost, peanut butter, delicious, homemade peanut butter, even better. But really the crux of it, besides the delicious peanut butter that now I want some, that's such a cool story. Like you take for granted sometimes the struggles that people have to get where they're at. And a lot of kids, especially over here with the AAU circuit, even kids that sometimes can come from meager beginnings are given so much. At an early age, they're identified and they're taken care of. And certainly there's tough circumstances and you never know where someone comes from. But you read something like this and literally a kid that had to make batches and batches of peanut butter to get a pair of shoes. And I promise you, that's a guy that's going to appreciate where he's at. And that is a cool story. And by the way, if you look anything up on the kid, and I did when I heard the news today, some people are going to do the whole bowl bowl thing. The kid is not like that. He's built. He looks... you think he reclassified, so he's probably, 17 years old? He should be a senior in high school.
He looks thicker.
He looks like he's got that NBA body. He's a big kid.
Bol Bol was lazy, and Bol Bol was a guy who, he grew up privileged, right?
I don't know.
I'm not sure about that, but, his dad played in the NBA for
him. I don't think he was making peanut butter in order to buy a pair of sneakers.
And this guy said once he got those sneakers, he treated those things like, you can keep, I encourage you to read his whole piece to his mom. And what she's done for him. And she's over there. And he said that he hopes to one day bring her to Eugene. Actually, let me read you that part, too. He said towards the end, let's see here.
I can also tell you this while you look it up. He picked Oregon over Kentucky. Those were the two finals.
And LSU.
And when you look now at Oregon's class, like you said, it's a top 15 class, but you've got, so he's a five-star kid. CJ Walker is another five-star kid. Was it Chandler Lawson? It was a four-star. And then they've got the New Mexico guard, Anthony Mathis, and the UNLV wing, Shakur, is it Justin? So you throw all those things together and all of a sudden Oregon, I don't know if all the preseason hype is going to be warranted or not, but all of a sudden the team certainly looks to rebound after a lot of people.
Just like last year.
A lot of people left.
Young, raw, younger than last year, but raw. But he chose a good school because Dana Altman is a really good teacher of the game to a young man who probably needs some of that. I would imagine. But anyway, he says, Oregon, he goes, throughout this process, it's been important to me to choose a place that I know you'd be proud of. And again, he's talking to his mom. A place where I will get a strong education and that has a family atmosphere. I put a lot of thought into it, and I'm excited to tell you that next year I'm going to be attending college and playing basketball at the University of Oregon. Oregon has a program that reflects a lot of the values you taught me when I was growing up, and I hope that someday I get to show you around Eugene. It's beautiful here.
Well, and someone said, too, think about what the Oregon Death Star looked like to that kid. when he rocked into their facilities and saw the wall of Jordans and all that.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, Dana Altman, I just think Dana Altman's a really good coach. And I think a lot of times you get frustrated with young teams. It takes some time, as you noticed with last year's team. But that last year's team finally gelled. And imagine what he could do if he could just keep his hands on these kids for multiple years, right? Same group together. But I do think, you know, if you're looking at just on the court type of impact, I think big guys are just at the college level. I remember thinking about all the old Kansas teams I've watched, and you go back to all the great ones, and they've been at Kansas is talented every year, right? Yeah. Like they're really good every year, but the special teams have always had a big guy that was a load to handle on the college level because most teams just don't have big guys. And I know Bol Bol got hurt, but Louis King, you know, kind of stepped up for Oregon as a big guy. And I just think
second half of the season, yeah.
Yeah, when you get a guy like this, like a big like this, he's going to be a matchup nightmare for most teams. And I think the way you win, well, one of the ways you can win a lot of games in the NCAA tournament is to just have that difference maker big because not a lot of people have him.
Yeah.
And this kid, you know, who knows? This kid, just I love his attitude. I love his story. You're going to love watching him, and hopefully he'll develop. And Dana Altman's a good developer of players, and so maybe this kid will be a difference maker down there.
Sounded like what they were talking about was raw, really athletic, going to be an instant impact on the defensive end.
That's the Oregon prototype now,
but,
isn't it?
Yeah, but on the offensive end, you know, just hasn't played a lot of hoops and is going to be raw, and so that's where you'll see the impact right away. Is on the defensive end, and then the offensive stuff will be more putbacks.
Well, he's a baby.
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, grows and develops.
Interesting. Check it out. Players Tribune called Dear Mom. It's by the new Oregon five-star center who just committed today. His name is Infali Dante from Mali, Africa.
And by the way of Bel Air, Kansas.
Yeah, quite a route. Isn't it?
Does seem a bit unusual, but let's go with it. How did Kansas let him get away? How did it come down between Kentucky? Is Kansas,
that's a good question.
Is
I don't
Kansas
know.
Not having to, they're not able to write the checks anymore?
Well, I think that's a little unfair.
Why?
Why would you say that?
Well, because of what happened. There's, you know, there's some heat around the Kansas program.
There's heat around the Oregon program.
How's the recruiting going for Kansas? Is it,
it's going good.
Has it died down a little
just
bit?
Just like Oregon. It's all the same, Jace.
So those scandals really hurt those programs, huh? Oh, wait. No, they didn't.
Doesn't seem it.
No.
All right. Well, anyway. That's that story. Is another Major League Baseball team considering moving cities? We've talked about the A's.
Oh, the Rays.
We've talked about the Rays.
We've talked about the idea of combining them into the A-Rays and forming one super team and moving them to
the
Portland.
The Diamondbacks have been mentioned.
Yep, Diamondbacks. But there's another team. There's a new one.
The Mets.
Have you read about this?
Are they leaving New York?
Mets aren't leaving. That's the Mets are hot, man.
The Mets are good. All I did was write them off, and then lo and behold, they're good. They'll break my heart, but they're good right now.
So we'll get to that story coming up next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
And now to our next story. Which circles back to the effort to bring Major League Baseball to Portland. Meow. Which, all is quiet on that front because, well, all is quiet on the A's and Rays front.
Yeah, and baseball has said, and who knows if this is true if it continues to drag on, but baseball has said that they need to address the stadium issues in Oakland and Tampa before they deal with expansion. So, kind of puts Portland on the waiting list.
Yeah, they're basically at MLB's mercy now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing everything they can in the meantime to beef up their profile, but
they're not going to spend money and put a shovel in the ground or even
you
know, buy permanent land until they get the go ahead because you're not sinking that kind of money into a maybe.
They've made significant headway here in town locally. Mm-hmm. But
got some support of government.
Yeah, got some money. And they've got a ballpark site or several. And renderings and everything, they need MLB to say, hey,
rubber stamp it.
We want to do something for you bros up there. Well, the A's situation is fluid and has been for like it's seemingly 20 years.
Yeah.
The Rays have been linked to Montreal, but we don't know what's going to happen with them.
Or both play some games in Tampa and some games in Montreal, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
Arizona Diamondbacks are sniffing around, but probably just to get a new downtown ballpark there. And now there is a new team that is having some ownership issues for various reasons, which we'll get into. And they are now being linked to Nashville.
Ooh. Because, well, the idea is that Major League Baseball, this wouldn't be expansion, but the Major League Baseball wanted the team on the East Coast, or at least, you know, that side of the country, and then one on the West. And there's not a lot of areas out West that you hear other than Portland, but out East, you've heard Carolina, you've heard Montreal, and Nashville is a name that gets kicked around quite a bit.
This is from the Baltimore Post-Examiner.
Yeah.
And I am discussing the Baltimore Orioles because Peter Angelos is old and apparently in failing health. So this is what they write. There are sources that are saying principal owner Peter Angelos' family has held extensive discussions about selling the team they've controlled for the past quarter century. The same source says Angelos' sons, John and Lou, lean towards a sale. There are complications. At 90 years old, Peter Angelos' health is fragile and he's no longer active in Orioles matters or his law office. His sons have assumed their father's old responsibilities. In Peter's absence, though, principal ownership of the club would go to his wife, Georgia, who is reported these days to be consumed with caring for her husband, Peter. If the family were to sell, that means another complication. Would they sell to local investors or to out-of-town owners who might move the team? The lease on Oriole Park, which helps tie the team to Baltimore, ends in 2021.
Mm.
2 years from now.
That's intriguing.
That's such a nice park. You ever been there?
No, that's on my list,
man.
Though.
It's so nice.
Would Major League Baseball be willing to let them move?
I doubt it.
Baltimore is, I mean, that's a...
Yeah, this is...
And that's an iconic ballpark at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it kind of started the new trend of stadiums. They make the argument that everything that's been built since is modeled after Camden Yards.
They did it right, man. And that area down there around the park is great, too.
Well, it used to be, you know, they would do the Space Age stadiums, right? Everything from the Sky Dome, or if you even want to go back to the Astrodome, and it was very sanitized and new age, and Camden Yards was the first of the throwback parks. And so everything from Safeco Field to PNC to Petco to all that, they credit Camden Yards with that style coming into fashion.
One rumor has the family retaining ownership, but the club moving to Nashville, where John Angelos and his wife have one of their homes, John being one of Peter's sons.
Okay.
That rumor takes on legitimacy mainly because of sinking attendance at Oriole Park. And remember, Angelos, the whole family, tried hard to get the Nationals. Well, the Nationals are the old Expos.
Yes.
And when they moved from Montreal, they moved to D.C. And Peter Angelos did not like that. He fought that hard, but he lost.
Rights.
Yeah. So they are pissed that the Nationals are there. And apparently John Angelos has a home in Nashville. I don't know. That's a pretty soft link in my opinion. But that's what their sources are telling him. And then they say knowledgeable sources say the family would much rather sell and keep the club in Baltimore if a local buyer can be found. And there's more to this story if you'd like to read it, but it's the Baltimore Post-Examiner. Interesting to note, too, because that's what brings up who's Starbucks, bro? Howard Schultz?
Yeah.
You know, like the idea that you want to sell and want to make sure it's a local buyer. You've heard that before from owners, and some of them are legitimately want to keep it in the community and will do everything they can to do that, and others don't really give a rip. So I don't know how the Angeloses would be in that regard, but what if there is a baseball team for sale within the next, you know, handful of years?
Yeah. There was talking to, I read the article that Maury Brown had it on this, and it was in Forbes, and he was pointing out that there's no unilateral decision. You can't just decide that you're going to pick up and move, that all this stuff has to be approved by Major League Baseball and everything has to be vetted out. You have to have a reason why you want to move it. You have to get approval. And so that could literally take years and years and years. And that's even if Major League Baseball would be open to the idea of removing a team with a great history and with a good fan base, even though they haven't been showing up, but they haven't been showing up because the team's been god awful. So I think that is a long shot at best that Major League Baseball would allow the Orioles to pack up and move.
You would think, because baseball just doesn't allow teams to move, period.
No.
It's got to be really bad. The Expos, it got really bad. They just would not build them a stadium, so they had to move. And then I think the other one is the Rays. I think the Rays are in really bad shape in Tampa, and that's going to be one to watch. But when you're talking about the Diamondbacks and even the A's and certainly the Orioles, I just don't – baseball, they just don't want teams moving.
No. especially teams with good history. Although the A's have moved around quite a bit. But at least with the A's and the Rays and the Expos, as you said, every one of them has a disastrous park that doesn't work. Baltimore doesn't. Again, Baltimore has a beautiful, park.
Somebody would kill to own them locally.
Yes.
And keep them there.
I just don't, I don't buy it. I mean, they're valued at, was it like $1.5 billion, $2 billion? And that's the valuation.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't think Baltimore is going anywhere.
But it's just interesting that, you know, I mean, if their sources are correct, you know, they're sniffing around. It's always interesting to hear when teams are sniffing around because Portland's in the game. They're in that game now. Yeah.
Well, Portland has said that they are willing to buy a team. But they need to buy a team with 51%. They said they have to have majority control and the team. They're not interested in buying a team to keep it in Baltimore. They'd have to buy the team, and Major League Baseball would obviously vet that. So baseball would have to allow them to buy the team knowing that they're planning on moving it. That Howard Schultz thing was so weird. The NBA knew what was going on and what a PR disaster. And there's no way the Major League Baseball is going to let a group buy a team from Baltimore with a wink, wink, nod, nod sort of thing of, hey, in 2 years, we're moving.
Yeah. So I found that mildly interesting, perked up when you, you know, it's just that, you know, you just don't get a lot of juicy rumors that teams are on the move in baseball. And that's a new one.
Yeah. Because, yeah, the only
because Angelos is, I mean, he's not doing well, it sounds like. So that changes. That's the same thing with Paul Allen. It's like when we are all here and nothing, it doesn't seem like anything's going to happen, at least in the near future with the Blazers. But all bets are off when the owner dies and the family inherits it and they were talking about how the kids aren't really into it. Well, if that's a case, then you never know.
And when you sell that, what does $2.5 billion look to those kids as opposed to owning a Major League Baseball team? It's like, hey, you can own a team that you're not really into, or how does a couple $1 billion sound? You know, it's attractive.
Man, if my old man were Peter Angelos, I'd be so excited to take over.
Yeah.
Well, and have fun with it.
And a lot of people
love that.
And a lot of people do, but
if you're John Angelos or whatever, maybe you don't care.
You don't care, and you just you just want the money.
Lou Angelos.
There is, like, I can see that. If you grew up and, you know, maybe it's just been a nuisance to you, and that's a lot of zeros, man. It's a lot of zeros and a lot of not doing anything.
The hard part for Portland and even Nashville, I think, is in this camp is they're not slam dunk cities.
No.
And Baltimore is just, there's a lot of people down there. There's Fortune 500 companies, although in and around the area, like we're talking about DC too. But Baltimore, somebody texted and they said, is it, you know, the fact that the city is getting worse have anything to do with that? I don't know. I don't know what the landscape is like in Baltimore. I mean, you read about it, but
yeah, I don't know.
That could be a factor or not. I'm not sure.
I mean, but I don't know. Just Baltimore seems, I mean, that's synonymous with the Orioles, and maybe that's just naive me being out here, but that doesn't, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like something that you would pull out of, even despite the city. Like, there's no city that's worse off major area than Detroit, right? And I don't see the Lions, the Tigers, or the Wings, or the Pistons pulling out of Detroit. And
there's so many people who live there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's close to DC, so you kind of get the convenient rivalry with the Nationals, close to Philly.
I mean, you've got a great ballpark.
Yeah.
And you got a bunch of people.
It's right
on
the water.
You got everything you need.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's just that's where it sucks for Portland, because when the Expos left Montreal, Washington, D.C. was, I mean, it's kind of a slam dunk. Yeah. Again, they're going to build you a nice new ballpark, and there's a ton of Fortune 500 companies down there for corporate support, and there's a ton of people, right? Yeah. Like, what's not to love? Yeah. Whereas when you're trying to sell Portland and Nashville, and this, because Tampa was sold similar to like Portland and Nashville, and Tampa has failed miserably. Even Miami, much bigger, has failed miserably. So baseball is looking at this going, well, Portland and Nashville, not necessarily slam dunks, are really going to have to convince us, unlike a DC would, or even Baltimore, an ownership group in Baltimore.
And isn't it different pulling out a team like Montreal or even the Diamondbacks as opposed to a team? What, the Orioles have been there since the late 40s, right? I mean, early 50s, something along that, I saw. I mean, you're talking about pulling out an organization with many, 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 many decades behind it.
Something to keep an eye on. All right, coming up next, Hard Knocks College Edition is coming. 351 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, top of the hour, which is like right now. So maybe like 4:08. He's back, Antonio Brown. But first, we got a little glimpse of another juicy little tidbit on the social meds today. And it was that HBO and its Hard Knocks series, which returns tonight, by the way. Episode 2 of the Raiders series.
Yeah, I wonder how much it's going to deal.
Yeah.
The autumn wind.
I love it.
That's pretty cool.
Can't get enough, man.
Yeah.
Did you like the first episode?
Run that by me again? Did you
Hard Knocks.
I said, did you like or?
Did you like, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying, is that from the first episode? I was like, it's from every episode.
No, I
episode.
Said, did you like the first episode?
Oh, I was like, I have. Every episode.
And then I was all, and then he was all, and then you were all.
I was like, what?
And I was like,
oh my God, totally.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, dislike, like, it's all the same thing. I think it's interesting to get a behind-the-scenes look. I don't think any one episode or any one season has been particularly better than the other.
Oh, I do.
I mean, it helps when you've got personality, but I don't know. That stuff interests me. I can't remember a season that I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic, and one that I thought was terrible.
Oh, all right. Well, anyway, episode 2 of the Raider series is tonight, and now we find out today that HBO is sniffing around a college edition of that show.
Yeah, we got 4 teams.
So the 4 teams, 4 schools.
But it's only going to be for a week, though, from my understanding.
Yeah, they want to follow 4 programs for 1 week.
Yeah.
And it would be Alabama, mm-hmm. Penn State, Washington State.
Fight for Washington State.
Well,
victory. Sad that I know their fight song.
And Arizona State.
I think it's because Washington State and Arizona State would play each other.
Yeah.
So it would be like a
football's football.
HBO 24/7 sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I don't know how they would do it, but there's what I read was they want to go into their camp, follow them for a week or there's practice or whatever. Yeah. This is during this season, during the regular season, and then spit out a couple of episodes on each or something. I don't know.
But Bama doesn't play Penn State, so they would be independent and you know, they would just have access to them depending on what week they choose. Whereas Arizona State and Washington State, I think, would be interesting because you get to see them prepare for one another.
Yeah, and you got old Mike Leach, who's always entertaining.
Yeah.
And then you have Herm.
That's 50% stupid.
You can make the argument that Herm would be actually more...
Oh, dude.
He'll be perfect for a show like this, whereas Leach can be aloof and, you know, not always the best interview if he's not in the mood. Herm will soak this up. I'm not going to say that he seeks out attention, but look, Herm doesn't shy away from any interview or a camera.
You know what's interesting is that Nick Saban may want to do it.
Yeah.
I find that weird.
Me too. I don't know if this is a recruiting thing for him, because you would think that if anyone would be hesitant to give access to the process, it would be Saban.
Yeah, but he's done it before.
You know, I hope we elect to kick ass is what I hope we do.
Didn't they have a preseason show once on... I think, yeah, they had one on ESPN.
Did they?
Yeah, it was pretty sanitized.
I certainly hope it's not like Western Carolina. I'd be pissed.
Oh, if that's on HBO Hard Knock?
Well, no, that's the if that's the week they choose
the
for
game.
Saban's like, hey, total access, behind the scenes, November 23rd, Western Carolina.
Yeah, we'll open it up for you. Sure, we're playing Western Carolina. No one around here cares.
We're peeling back the layers. Okay,
no, they're playing Duke. Alabama's playing Duke.
To start it off.
Yeah.
The Western Carolina is the bye week at the end of the year before they play
Auburn. Yeah.
So they got Duke, New Mexico State. Boy, their schedule really does suck this year. Normally, they play a pretty good...
Give me their toughest game.
The SEC. The SEC is supposed to be good this year.
I know, Georgia, I assume.
Of course the SEC is good. I'm saying, what are the toughest games?
They're at A&M, and A&M is supposed to have a bounce back year.
Okay.
And they've got the... God, I can never remember his name. They got a quarterback that's supposed to be a Heisman Trophy type of guy. At Mississippi State, at Auburn. They don't play Georgia.
Oh.
Wow.
Remember, Georgia's on the other side of the SEC.
Yeah, right. Is it Kellen Mond?
Kellen Mond.
Is that the Texas A&M guy?
Yes, who's supposed to be... Well, he played last year as a freshman, and they're saying that they expect big things out of him, and another year with Jimbo. So a lot of people think that A&M could have a real big bounce back year. LSU's supposed to be good this year with Burrows at quarterback.
But they get them at home.
They get them at home. I don't know what Mississippi State has. They're on the road at Starksville, and then they're on the road at Auburn again. I've heard conflicting reports. Some people think Auburn could be a top 10 team, and I've seen some people think they're borderline top 25.
Penn State's not playing anybody either.
So it's a pretty...
Have you seen their non-con?
No.
Idaho, Buffalo, Pitt.
That sucks.
Maryland, Purdue. I mean, God.
I mean, it's embarrassing. Now, to be fair...
But it would still be a good show if they
it will
if it's those 4 teams.
Yeah. Now, Saban has talked about this, and I hope that he actually does it. And I just think it'd be better for everyone. There, he wants the starting with Alabama, but he wants everyone else to follow suit. He's saying 10 Power 5 games, and that should be a rule. You should have to play 10 Power 5, or if you want to throw in the independent, so you get Notre Dame or BYU or Boise or whatever. But then you're getting into the Mountain West. I like the idea. You know what? Nuts to BYU and Boise. Say Power 5 plus Notre Dame. I think every team in a Power 5 conference should be forced to do that. You get two non-conference, you can do what you want with them. But 10 Power 5 games, it's ridiculous that the number two team in the country has Duke, New Mexico State, Southern Miss, and Western Carolina on their schedule. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, the Spokesman Review is writing about this, and they said they are in discussions with HBO for a new program modeled around the network's popular Hard Knocks docuseries. The report originally came from devilsdigest.com, mm-hmm. which is Arizona. They cover Arizona State.
Does Herm know that? Remember when someone said that they were from like the Devil
Times, right.
And Herm was like, hey, we're about Jesus here. Like Herm, Sun Devils.
And they say the show is expected to include many of the same elements as Hard Knocks, the unfiltered, uncut reality show that follows one NFL team, blah, blah, blah. According to a Spokesman Review source, HBO has already held preliminary discussions about bringing a repurposed, shortened version of Hard Knocks show to Wazoo, though talks are ongoing and no contract has been signed. The source did indicate there's a strong chance the show would be headed to Washington State at some point during the regular season.
You'd have to really sanitize this, though, unfortunately. With the Hard Knocks, you got a little more leeway with them being adults and, you know, paid athletes. It could get a little awkward following kids around campus life and microphones and huddles and picking up 18, 19, yeah. 20-year-olds talking.
But these guys are good. Like, this Hard, like, the HBO people know yeah. how to sanitize this stuff because they have to for the NFL.
You got
to
scrub it down. So I'm saying is the college one, if you think HBO sanitizes for Hard Knocks, and they do, the one at the collegiate level will be scrubbed awful, awful clean.
Well, what was the Michigan one? All or Nothing?
All or Nothing.
That was great. Sanitized, but great. Sure. It's still interesting to a lot of fans, I think.
Mike Leach will not be shown locking someone in a equipment shed.
They'll clip that part out.
What was the other one where he like took him to the sand pits and was like spraying him with a hose?
Did you see him doing a...
You can't do that.
See him doing a belly flop in the pool? See that one making the rounds?
Well, we did this a number of years ago. We saw a website, and we were talking about a website ranked the top 10 shirtless college coaches, and Mike Leach was 2 or 3, because there's some great photos of Mike Leach topless around Key West. It's a specimen.
All right, we got to run. So look for that coming, hopefully this season, HBO Hard Knocks College Edition, Washington State, Arizona State, Penn State, Alabama.
It's very exciting times.
It is. What an exciting time.
What an exciting time.
Lane.
Go Owls.
All right, coming up next, he is back. 404 on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.